This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to another iteration of our new podcast series about making sure that all of our attorneys, our firms, and everyone else in legal tech is always and forever going to be compliant. We talk about the ABA Rule 1.1, which states that lawyers must provide competent representation. My name is Bethann Stubbe, and I'm the Director of Publications and Press for ILTA. And today, I am thrilled to be joined by yet another ILTAN, Jeffrey Geftman. He is the e-discovery attorney at Jackson Lewis PC, and he is in Milwaukee. As a Cubs fan, I feel this is a little bit of a hard conversation, but it's okay. You're in for the Cubs. So welcome, Jeffrey. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
One of the first things that we always talk about is this very basic idea that technical competency is something that every attorney solicitor should be very well versed in. What does technical competency mean to you?
It's interesting. The area I've been in e-discovery is one of the ones that crosses the line of legal and technology. And the difficulty I see with a lot of attorneys is you grow up as a litigator, you grow up as a fighter, and you do not want to admit to what it is you don't know. And that's where the problem happens with technology, because part of the competency is legal competency. And when you step into that area where you need an expert, it's not always easy to say, I need help. So cutting across those lines, understanding the background of law versus technology and having the capability to reach out to an expert is a huge thing. So competency, one of the best quotes I ever got in my technical background is, you don't need to know every answer. You need to know who to go to get those answers. And having attorneys feel comfortable to say, at least internally, I don't know. I need to get the answer to this and I can circle back. And that is as important to competency as actually knowing those answers.
When we were prepping for these calls, we had talked a little bit about how your department specifically had kind of metered up, personnelled up in e-discovery. And I do think that that's a point in this conversation about competency. You guys are not only kind of, you know, filling roles, but you were filling holes. You were filling that need for competency. Could you talk me through that a little bit?
Certainly. As an example, overall for e-discovery, the firm went through a major shift. As of last year, we completely revamped the department. My director, Tom Burnett, came on, and the department has grown fivefold since he came on, with the intention of doubling up again before the end of the year. We did not have a lot of e-discovery specialists, and we now have people like myself from different walks of life within e-discovery, from working at vendors, working at firms, working in-house with clients, who have seen it all. So having that internally at Jackson Lewis, having the attorneys know they can turn to someone internally who's seen these sorts of things, and also introduce us to the clients as e-discovery experts to answer their questions, for especially in the times that the attorneys can't answer them themselves.
I do think it's going to be an interesting shift over the next few years, coming out of COVID, coming into kind of a workforce reutilization and reutilization, specifically in e-discovery, KM and Lit, is something that we're seeing a lot more of, those very specific task-driven attorneys, very task-driven cases. Do you think that the future workforce is going to have to prepare in technical competency in ways that you and I never thought of?
Yes, and the funniest part of that is each generation that comes in is exponentially more capable in technology than the people who are here. That's very true in law. You'll get interesting stories from a lot of people in dealing with partners, and people are very experienced in the law as far as the lack of technology background and being able to turn around. So while yes, absolutely, each generation that comes in has to know technology better, they're going to grow up in a background and understanding that they have a level that the workforce they're coming into doesn't, which creates opportunity as well. But that training needs to be specified. It needs to work before they show up, and also continuing education for everyone in technology to make sure that they're up on what's required.
I feel like I should be plugging the CLE credits for ILTACON, but ignoring that for just one second. Let's talk about tech that's current. We've spoken a lot about generative AI in the last, you know, few weeks, few months. There have been some very outspoken critics, Elon Musk, for example, which I'm not sure we should take one direction or another, but let's just say there have been some outspoken critics and proponents for generative AI. Any thoughts on it, just from a personal level? I know that firms are sitting all over the spectrum. So let's just talk about this, you know, as an attorney. How do you think this will be used? How do you think it will evolve? And do you think that this is a technical competency conversation?
It is. The development here is interesting, but it's not the first time, especially in the discovery space, that we've had to deal with artificial intelligence. Technology-assisted review is decades old, as far as levels that went through. And the way it's come out has been interesting, the adoption by the field to be able to do it, but we don't know which way it's going to go. At a certain point, the courts begin to realize that they don't want to know what's in the black box because it's not their wheelhouse to be able to understand that. That's why you get specialists to step in and special masters to talk about what's there. And a lot of interesting part is the fact that courts kind of punted it back to the parties to work out their own issues and figure it out themselves. But as far as generative AI goes, you know, it's not Skynet. It's not all, sorry, Skynet from Terminator. It's not those things where you have this setup that's going to take over humanity. When you create AI, there's two major factors that are out there that influence it. First of which being that you have a human being who does the coding. And that human being's mistakes or their biases can come back and through things. So you need to be able to understand what that is. And those human beings need legal advice on how to be able to structure it. The second part is the information that's being pulled into those engines is targeted. When you're dealing with generative AI or AI in general, it's a garbage in, garbage out sort of sample. So if you're putting the wrong information in, it's not going to give you what you want back. And since you can target information that you want, you can have bias for what you're going to pull it from. And also, you may not have the full sample of information you need in order to get to the correct answer.
I feel like I'm having more and more of the feeling that I'm dreaming of electric sheep, if you will, than anyone else is. But let's just leave with this conversational point at the end of this. If you could rewrite generative AI, if you could rewrite the technical competency law, which one would you have more fun with?
Probably the competency. I'm biased towards that because it would have a more significant and immediate impact into the practice of where I'm in. Because if you draw those lines, it forces changes within the law. Competency to take that away from an attorney and say, you need experts. You are not expected to know these areas. It's not part of law. It forces everyone to stop trying to pretend or focus themselves in pretending that they know the answer and makes them turn towards the experts in e-discovery who, you know, certain people have interests in being able to be part of that. You know, the reason that's there is because that's how we, or the reason we have jobs is because that's what's there. So that's my biased way of which one I'd want to lean towards.
It was a very e-discovery specific answer. I enjoyed it. Thank you. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us today. We will definitely see you at ILTACON, and I hope to see you on a future version of Hopscast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.